Tuesdays means we checked in with Justin Delandy at Lending For You for Home Run Finance, and he's with me now. Hello, mate.
G'day, Lee. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. New CoreLogic quarterly report is out, and what's going on with the old love affair with the tree change to regional parts of the country versus the city living?
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, is Australia's relationship with the regional areas going to last? So many property buyers have been successfully tempted to Australia's regional areas, and that's due to a number of reasons. Space, flexible working conditions, flexibility, you know, particularly with COVID, working from home. But is this trend fleeting or is it here to stay? So according to CoreLogic's quarterly regional market update, Australia's 25 largest non-capital city regions, which includes the north of Tasmania, by the way, continued to achieve unprecedented increases in value, with 24 regions posting double-digit annual growth for houses and 18 regions notching up gains in excess of 20% over the 12 months to January. So the median dwelling value across those combined regions in Australia rose 26%, where the capital city dwelling growth rate was only 21%. So it's wow. Outpaced. So the sea change is alive and well, I think. Look, the trends continued for nearly 2 years, and obviously whilst with the COVID pandemic has made a massive influence in our property market, regional price growth has sort of accelerated towards the end of 2021. Capital city dwelling price growth had continued to slow. So there's an unusual divergence between those two markets, because normally price growth in capital cities is far more than regional Australia. Mm. And look, some economic forces can still impact regional housing markets. And there's probably still some room for growth, even if we get interest rate hikes in some of the more affordable sort of areas around Australia. It's interesting, though, across Australia's regional unit market, the best performing unit market was Launceston and the North West region in Tasmania,
wow.
which saw a 33.9% increase in values. And that was followed by Queensland's Sunshine Coast. And at the other end of the scale, things weren't going too well in Bunbury, where they went back 8%, and Queensland's Mackay with Sunday region. But those Bunbury and Mackay heavily depended upon certain industries. So key drivers for performance in our regions will come down to higher interest rates, affordability constraints, and, you know, really, as we come out of the pandemic, whether the boss says, well, you've got to go back into the office, pretty much.
We don't want to hear that. Right. Actually, speaking of which, I know that it's good news if you are a property owner and an investor. It is tough for people wanting to crack the first home buyer market. New legislation passing for first home buyers. Is this something of interest?
Yeah, look, hopefully it will help. I mean, they've passed new legislation, hopefully, to get Australians into their own home and drive investment. So the new Bill Treasury Laws Amendment, it's called Enhancing Superannuation Outcomes for Australians and Helping Australian Businesses Invest, Bill 2021. So it supports first home buyers by increasing the maximum amount of voluntary contributions that could be released under the First Home Super Saver Scheme from $30,000 to $50,000. It also reduces the eligibility age for making downsizer contributions into superannuation from 65 to 60-year-olds. So that allows more older Australians to consider downsizing to homes, getting some benefits for that, increasing the supply of larger homes for young families. So it also supports businesses to invest and grow by extending the government's temporary full expense regime in terms of depreciation and things by 12 months to June 30, 2023. And what that does is allow businesses with a turnover of less than $5 billion to claim an immediate deduction for the business portion of the cost of an asset. So whether that's, you know, new computers or whether it's a new car or those things, they can write them off straight away. So what the government's hoping for is all of these incentives will provide some, you know, together with some tax relief, will assist in helping businesses grow, and also these changes to help older Australians downsize
and assist first-time buyers getting to their home. Haven't seen a lot of people here locally use that first-time super saver scheme, so don't know. The proof will be in the pudding, I reckon. But the bill and the explanatory material, they are available on the Parliament of Australia website if people want to have a look at it.
What, you don't want to go into finer detail here right now?
No, not really.
All right, we'll go on to the dollar then.
Not much to talk about the dollar. Where we're sitting, 71.28 US cents. Rallied a bit during the course of trading on Monday, only to turn around and start falling again before bouncing back a bit and bounced back again today. In other words, we're just basically hanging around and trying to figure out where we go next. All things being equal, I do think there's a lot of risk out there that should continue to favour the US dollar over the Aussie dollar, which, you know, particularly the Aussie dollar is subject to a lot of commodity prices and things like that. So depending upon the appetite for those commodities, depends on how our dollar goes, and we sort of don't know where we're going at the moment. We're just sort of hanging around.
Very good. Mate, we'll see if there is any change next week. Catch you on Tuesday. Thank you, mate.
Sounds good. Thanks, Lee.
Justin Delandy, lending for you. It's the Home Run Finance, 22 to 5.